call this meeting to order. Today is Monday, September 14th, 2020. This is the business meeting of the Elizabeth School District Board of Directors, and it is 6:01 p.m. Roll call, please.
Director Benkendorff?
Paul?
Oh, he's got it.
He's here.
Mute off.
You're mute.
You're muted.
You're muted.
I'm very sorry.
So
it's okay.
Paul is by video conference. Director Frommbeller?
Present.
Director Gutenberg?
Here.
Director Hines?
Present.
Director Karcher?
Present.
Okay, would you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we don't have an education showcase. So can I get a motion to approve the amended agenda, and the amendment is an executive session regarding security?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
I already did it.
Okay. Yeah, he did.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Director Benkendorff?
Yes.
Director Frommbeller?
Yes.
Director Gutenberg?
Aye.
Director Hines?
Aye.
Director Karcher?
Aye.
Can I get a motion to approve the amendments from the board meeting of August 24th, 2020?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Director Benkendorff?
Yes.
Director Frommbeller?
Yes.
Director Gutenberg?
Aye.
Director Hines?
Aye.
Director Karcher?
Aye.
Next up, we'll have communications, and first up is our district nurse, Lori Clark.
Hi.
Thank you for coming in.
No problem.
If you want, you can sit over here and join us if you want to, or wherever you're most comfortable.
So I think Jamie sent these.
Can you hear Paul?
We just can't hear him.
Is he on mute again?
He's on mute. It's okay. Let us know if you can't hear.
I'll manage. It's a little tough. I'll manage.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, I think Jamie got these guidelines out. So I just kind of simplified what I've given our health aides to kind of follow for protocols. Unfortunately, I'm fielding all the phone calls, which is probably a good thing. But it was created from all the documents out there from the health department and the CDE, and there was one from Children's Hospital. So these are just kind of our criteria for when students or staff should not come to school. If they have one or more of those major COVID symptoms we talked about, and two or more of the minor symptoms. So we're really being a lot more stringent this year. Kids just can't come to school with cold anymore. I mean, I just talked to a mom today who had, she had a temperature of 99 for 3 days, and that was it, and she was positive. So we just have to be a lot more careful. And then, back through. And then I gave some information for parents to be able to contact their Children's Hospital has a helpline that you can just call, and that way they can just call and say, hey, my kid has this symptom, and they will advise them whether they need testing or not. And then, of course, any students or staff that have chronic health conditions, like some people just have constantly runny allergy noses, they have, we've made an exception for those people to be at school. And then also some criteria for when to come back to school and how long they need to stay home. And we've been dealing with that quite a bit. As you guys have probably heard, we've had to have some students shift to remote learning because we had two cases that were not positive but probable because one person in the home had a test and everyone else had the exact same symptoms. So, and I have to say that parents have all been really great. They have, for the most part, these parents have been keeping their kids home for a sniffle, which has been really awesome. I've not had any phone calls that I expected to have with parents saying, well, you know, he has allergies or he just has a cold. Nothing like that. They've been very diligent. The only situation where they haven't was this situation where we had to switch some kids to remote learning, and these girls, everyone within the home was sick, and they came to school. So.
Just to clarify, one school?
Yes, just one on one day. And then there are some other instances where it's a little more subjective. I haven't found that too often. In that case, I've been consulting with Duane at the health department. We had a bus driver who was really sick, and she tested negative, but she had all the symptoms. And so in that case, I consulted with him and said, you know, she drives a bus, and he agreed that. So we were able to have her stay home and get a sub for her. So any questions about the process?
I have one question.
Yes.
On paragraph 5, it says here that students will need to be picked up promptly by a parent. What if they're in the high school and they drive a car? Can they take their car home, or do they have to leave it there?
They can take the car home. Unless they're too, for some reason, they're too sick to drive. Yeah. But they can drive home.
Okay.
We would just notify their parents.
Okay.
So, and we can't make anyone get tested. The ideal would be, you know, we can tell somebody, well, you know, we advise you have a test, and I know the health department does that, but not everybody tests. So in that case, like this one we had last week, the health department said we're going to assume everyone's positive. So they recommended that everyone in the household get tested, but this family did not want to do that. But we can't make them do that. So the health department, just working closely with them. So, and their contact tracer, I worked pretty closely with her last week about that. So.
The kids that, like the elementary schools, sometimes you call the parents and they don't answer, or they don't, you know, or they delay and, you know, oh,
just
get them a Tylenol.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do we do? Do we just, like, put them in the health aid room? Or?
Yeah, so we have, we're waiting for curtains to come, some plastic curtains to put up, but right now we have kind of plexiglass and we just kind of isolate them there. I think Running Creek actually had room to make a separate room for those kids, but the other schools didn't, so we just have plexiglass up. We try to call everyone, you know, we call mom, dad, emergency contact, and if, you know, if they have to stay, they have to stay. We just kind of put them in a little bit of isolation and keep the other kids away from them. Yeah. Slather them up with hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
You said plastic sheets. Could you just use your allergies?
Well, that was my grand idea. Actually, it wasn't my idea. Whose idea was that? Tammy's. Yes, because they're on back order.
Yeah.
These plastic curtains that you can actually wipe down, and they provide more coverage, and they're private as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're on back order, everyone's ordering them, so Tammy Krueger said, well, why not just use shower curtains? But I guess by the time they get the apparatus to hang the shower curtains, it would be a different apparatus to hang the ones that we actually have on order.
Oh,
so yeah, I talked with Lloyd about it, and I thought it was a great idea, but it didn't pan out. So just because of the way the, and there's already in the middle school and high school, there's already curtains in there. They're just cloth. So they already have everything hanging to put those more industrial type curtains in there. So.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You had questions at the last meeting. Have all of your questions been answered just about?
I don't know.
Lori is here because of you.
You better think of something for me.
You had questions.
I did.
I mean, if you don't remember the exact question, I think that you, my recollection is you were satisfied with the answers that I gave you, but I also said we could have Lori come. Because part of Well, like, would we be excluding people from school because they had a runny nose?
Yes, it was something about the website, that the pop-up that came up on the website when you went on there, that
to fill out
the questionnaire. Yes,
that's right.
Right, yeah. Because that's right, because.
Sorry, my intention was not to put you on the spot. My intention was to make sure you had all of your questions answered.
Yeah.
And I know that we answered them pretty well last time, but what I think, because when we last met, it was our first day of school. And so part of what I wanted to do was say, and I think part of what I said was, here's our plan. This is what we intend to do, but today's the first day of school, so let's have Lori come, and she'll be able to not only say what our plan is, but how she's actually handled things. So I think she's described to you the essence of how she's handled things, and that, for example, parents are really keeping their kids, because I think one of your questions was, you know, are we going to tell people if you have a sniffle,
right,
you can't come to school? And that's
or we're going to be forcing them, the parents, to go take their child to go get a COVID test, because I think there's a lot of parents that were questioning that. And part of it too is, remember the fires were going on,
yeah,
and there was a lot of smoke. That was, so the allergies were, people that don't even have allergies had the scratchy throats.
Yeah.
And you could say that we had all the symptoms of it, but know it's the smoke. So that's where I think some of my questions were. Because of that pop-up that was on the website, is how are we going? You guys are not going to micromanage our parents, saying that you guys have to have these tests done and all stuff.
No,
so.
We can't do. You can't make anybody do something like that. As far as a sniffle, it would be two or more symptoms. Say they have a runny nose and a sore throat. Yeah, they probably ought to stay home, because a lot of people who get COVID have sore throat. So it's two or more of these symptoms. And then, and if they want to go to their doctor, and their doctor says, you're fine to go to school, I've checked you out, I decided it's from allergies, then that's okay. They can bring a doctor's note. That's the other option. I think we've had one parent do that, where they wanted them to come back and they got a doctor's note. The key is the doctor has to be able to identify if they don't test them. And what I'm finding is some of these doctors are gung-ho about testing everyone, and some of these doctors are saying just stay home and don't go anywhere and we'll see how you are in 4 days. So, but I think that the key is, if a doctor determines that it's from another cause, then they can write them a note to come back. And I've actually only had, like I said, the parents have been great. They have been keeping them home for a sniffle. So, did that answer your question?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it was answered last time, but now I was just trying to talk out loud to figure out what our questions were, right? That's where I was last week or last time, so. Okay. Good job.
Thank you.
I think the bottom line is it's been going a little bit smoother than we anticipated.
I totally agree.
Just
with
cooperation from parents about sending kids, cooperation from kids with distancing and wearing masks. The common thing that we see is that they're wearing their masks that are not covering their nose. And so the teachers, the administrators will just kind of, do that, and they do it. What?
I can't picture Brett coming up and going.
No, we don't touch their masks.
Oh, you just do that, okay.
No, the teacher, so if I encounter someone, I just kind of...
Oh, you do that. Okay.
Do that to pull it up over your nose. And they pull it up over their nose. That's the most serious infraction that we're kind of seeing, is they'll pull it down a little bit to breathe a little more.
Right.
Just have to remind them. And they cooperate. There's no issues. There's no...
Yeah, they've done really well.
Yeah.
And in reality, the ones that we put to remote learning, the health department said, they were all wearing masks. He said the risk is pretty minimal, because even though we've moved them to remote learning, they were all wearing masks.
And we've been getting kids outside a lot.
Mm-hmm.
they become, they're getting accustomed to that, they like that.
Keeping the windows open.
Yeah. You know, fans, there's a lot that they're doing.
How did it work those couple snow days, those cold days we had?
They went outside less, but they still did go outside. Okay. And the key, and this is, it's kind of counter from some of the things that people are doing and what people have been told is to get out of the classroom. So if you want to design a more likely condition for the spread of the virus, you put a lot of people in a closed space without masks for a long period of time. And poor ventilation. And to some degree, that can be a typical classroom. So how would you mitigate the risk? Well, if you are in a room, in a space with a bunch of people, you have your masks, you have good ventilation, it can be an open window, it can be air filtration, but it can also be get out of the classroom. Walk around inside in the school, because then the circulation in the room is bringing in more outside air, more air from outside that room. If there potentially was a person with the virus that was expelling that virus, it now becomes, instead of more concentrated, it becomes more diluted. The people who have left the room are getting fresh air, because if they're, even if it's inside air, it's very, the larger space, it's much more diluted. It's not a high, wouldn't be a high concentration like you would get if you were in the same room for a long period of time where there was no or poor circulation. So we've advised just even, go take a walk down the hallways. Now, there are some schools that are keeping the kids in the same classroom all day long, and they bring in the adults, and the adults leave. Just think about it, if there's somebody in that room that has the virus, they just stay in that room for 6-7 hours, it doesn't mitigate the risk of spread, because you're keeping them there and you're bringing the adults in. It really mitigates the spread to get them out of the room, to get them outside or even in just another space. So that's what we've been doing. And I think there's other benefits just beyond mitigation of the risk of spreading, which is just, our teachers have been saying that the kids are more focused when they come back into the classroom after their breaks. Yeah. They've kind of gotten used to now getting outside, especially. Mm-hmm. They like it.
And they're allowed to have their masks off outside?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. They stand, they need to stand apart, but yeah, that's part of it.
Maybe this will start a new kind of learning.
Yeah.
Where we get them outside rather than sitting in the classroom all day long.
Yeah. And yeah, we have classrooms outside. We have, sometimes they're just standing outside. Some of the teachers have used that time to practice their the fire drill route, where they go to leave, what exit they use, and where they stand while they're in a fire drill. So I think across the board, we're just seeing a lot more cooperation than we were expecting,
yep.
Especially on these issues.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank
you.
You
are very welcome. Thanks for coming.
Have a good rest of the night.
Thank you, Laura.
Next up, we have Kim with our HR update.
Hey. Hi, everybody. Of course, this summer was not typical.
Thank you so much.
This summer and the beginning of the school year were very atypical for us, but over the last couple weeks, in terms from an HR standpoint, things have kind of become typical. We're just kind of, there's nothing really unusual going on. It feels more like a regular, typical school year from my standpoint. I've got a couple things here. One is we've got some key positions that we're recruiting for right now. One is a communications and marketing specialist, which is the position that's been vacant that was the director of communications. We're hiring it at a lower level, but have incorporated some of the similar duties that the director did. And that's out there right now being recruited for.
So we're changing that position a little bit?
Yes, a little bit.
Okay.
We didn't feel like we needed another director position, that we could get substantially the same work done by a position at a lower level.
Okay.
Yeah.
And combining, adding marketing in, or was that in the...
It was already kind of part of the job.
Job description.
Yeah, but we wanted it to be really, because marketing our district is so important, we wanted it to be part of the actual job title this time. So I don't think we're going to lose anything as a result of this. I think if we find the right person, that's the key here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's been posted.
It's been posted. Yeah.
Are you getting any?
Interestingly, not a whole lot yet. It's been open for about a week and a half, 2 weeks. So there's time still. In fact, two of the three jobs that I'm going to talk to you about, two of them have been posted about 2.5-3 weeks, and things are going very slowly so far, which is kind of interesting. And we've got them. We've got the jobs really all over the place in terms of being posted. But we've had a few applications for each, and as they come in, I look at them, and if there's anything that I think Douglas might want to take a quick look at, I move them over to him so he can see them. So, the Homegrown Talent Initiative Project Manager is a position. Homegrown Talent Initiative Project Manager is a position that we're recruiting for right now. That's going slowly also. That's a different type of position. And so I think people are looking at it and kind of wondering, do I fit this job, you know, in terms of my background?
Right.
I think that's kind of what's going on with that. But that also is widely posted. So really the same thing. It's going a little bit slowly, but we're patient. We want to get the right person in for that job. And then,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What do you think is a good fit for that position? Because that, you know, that is a...
You know, we have a couple of people with business backgrounds that have applied for the position. At least that seems to be where the initial applications are coming from. And that doesn't, that could be a real solid, if it's the right person with the right business background, that could be a really good match for that position. So I don't think they necessarily have to have, obviously somebody who has a background in education is and understands this type of thing would be helpful, and we have asked for that in the posting, that it's a preferred, but we're really open, and I think if we could find somebody with both of those types of backgrounds, that would be could be potentially ideal for us. And then last but not least, we have an administrative assistant to the superintendent and to the board that has been posted.
We're all frowning right now.
Yes.
What? Now, wait a minute.
Yes.
Did I miss an email?
You did. I don't know. You may have.
I've been trying so hard to keep up on you. What the hell?
There's not a 10-second delay here. Yeah. Just so you know.
So what's up?
Had another opportunity. It was hard to
say no to. Yeah, so that's her job's been posted. None of us are particularly happy about it, but we understand. She found a good opportunity, and I understand completely. But it'll be sad to see her go. She's been real helpful, particularly to me during her time here.
She's totally awesome.
Yeah. She's been good. There, it's one of those situations where it's their gain, it's our loss. We are recruiting for her position, that's only been open for about a week now. So I'm just kind of gathering applications and kind of looking them in as they come in. But your last day here is the 25th, is that right? Yeah, the 25th. So,
I
don't want to put her on the spot, you know. I was debating whether I should even include this, but then I wouldn't be completely transparent, so I had to. I probably should have warned you. Those are the three positions then that we're really focused on right now. No additional COVID-related HR things that have come my way. You did, if you recall the last couple business meetings, you did approve 4 of our employees for leave of absences. They're all at home, and we'll be revisiting them towards the end of this semester. in December to see where they stand at that point and whether or not we'll extend that or not. We just I didn't think it was a good idea to commit to a full year right off the bat, so we're going to do it semester by semester, but we haven't had anybody else ask, which is good. And then finally, as you probably know, we didn't have our normal district-wide luncheon and pinning ceremony this year because of COVID. But Jamie is one of the things she's been helping me with is putting together something that we'll do online, basically just kind of similar to the brochure that we normally put together that will introduce the rest of our employees to our new teachers, our new staff, people that have hit milestones. We have one person in our office, Tammy Myers, that's hitting her 30th year. So that's pretty cool. I think we have 125 and a couple of 20s. So we'll recognize them also. So you'll see that it'll be emailed out to all of our staff. So it's more kind of a regular HR world right now for me, and I hope it stays that way. Actually, other than we don't want to lose anybody else, but
right.
It's kind of going quite smoothly right now. Any questions? Yes.
I have a question in regards to the homegrown initiative.
Yes.
How are we going about with, because we've been approached about having a gentleman come to our facility to do some welding and learn welding with my husband.
Oh, okay.
So, but we've been asking about the insurance part of it, and I haven't received anything yet to see. I know that it was discussed that,
okay.
Because it's on our property, that it would be, this gentleman would be covered under the initiative and under the school insurance.
Okay.
But I just would like to make sure that we receive something. I mean, I like y'all, but I want proof. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
So
and I just think any other business would want that as well.
Sure. I don't know if I should talk to Brett and approach Brett with that first. Do you have a recommendation? Because I wasn't aware that this had been an issue for you. But I can follow up for you.
Okay.
Yeah. So you basically want to know, is there something, some kind of proof of insurance that is provided for people like you who are bringing kids in?
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Because we are not a business. I mean, we are a business, but I'm not like next to Safeway, right? It's on our property in our shop. So
Got
I just
it.
Want to make sure
okay.
that, I mean, the parents came out and we discussed everything with parents. I just want to make sure that, you know, we're protected on our end
okay.
for having, you know, a young man at our facility.
I will follow up and I will get back with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
And I'll make it a priority.
Beautiful. Thank
okay.
you. I appreciate it.
Anything else? All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you,
Kim.
Paul's asked if I could move him to the table.
Is he he's having trouble hearing?
That's what I wonder.
I think so.
I'm gonna...
Oh, he's. I think he just did thumbs up saying that yes.
While James is doing that, I'll get my setup.
Oh, you're fine, Jamie. Thank you.
Sorry.
Can you be on the extra?
So, what's the name of the company? I can call it.
Harass.
You're funny.
Oh, I feel like one of you all now.
Is that better?
Hi, Paul.
That's fantastic.
Be careful.
I wasn't officially called up, but I know I'm next.
No, but I'm calling you right now. Up next, we have Marty with our technology update.
So, Douglas thought it'd be a good idea, and actually we had the same thought, he beat me to it, to show you our setup for being able to do remote learning, a synchronous model of remote learning at home. So if you haven't heard of those terms before, make sure I can find. If you haven't heard those terms before, asynchronous is the model that we were doing in the spring where there wasn't a kind of a live
party.
There wasn't a live kind of component to it. It was the way that we were doing it in the spring was that teachers were doing some stuff and then kids were doing it at home. Whereas what we decided to do this this fall is to do a synchronous model in which those who might be quarantined at home will be able to still participate in the class if they're otherwise not sick and can function, but they have to quarantine at home, but they're well enough anyway. And so this is kind of our setup, and I wanted to kind of show you the setup to see how we're doing this. And essentially, our teachers are getting a few pieces of devices. They already have their laptops, so this is, you know, so they're using their laptops to start their Zoom. They're getting an iPad and an iPad stand. They're also getting some sort of wireless headset that they're choosing. There's one that goes around your neck, one goes over your head, and there's one that goes over your ear. So they're choosing which one, you know, which one they like. This is always, anyways, it goes like this way. And so the whole idea is that essentially this is the view of a student. So this would be how the class is run. And essentially what the teachers are doing is they are using the iPad as the camera source, which frees up their computer. So if you guys have all been on Zoom calls where you're using the computer's camera to look at yourself, etc. And so we're kind of freeing that up so that essentially they're free to still use their laptops how they want to use it, and the video is coming in from the iPad. Essentially what I'm doing here is the iPad is attending a meeting as an attendee. And so this is pretty much the setup. And the whole reason for the wireless headsets is that they hook this up to their laptops. And then, so here's one that goes around your neck. But it's just like any other wireless headset. Of course, I'm using one right now, but that's because I'm listening into our. And so this is then hooked up to their laptop with their Zoom. So then if they have the freedom to walk around the room, if there's a question from one of the students at home, they're not like trying to, you know, hear like what Paul was doing, or right. Trying to hear from here, right?
Like Paul's doing now.
Yeah.
College.
And so they can ask their question at home. They hear it in their headset. They can answer that question. Of course, they have to change some of their kind of classroom instructions, right? So if a kid from home asks a question, they'll probably have to repeat that question for the class, and et cetera. If a classmate asks a question, they'll repeat that for the and then they just leave this to be however they want to use it in terms of being able to view it wherever they need it, right? So if they're doing some sort of lecture, they can put it themselves. If they're doing some sort of whiteboard work, they put it at the whiteboard. I forgot to show you one item that we also gave them is a little clip-on wide-angle lens for the camera. So if they need to, they have the ability to clip this on. And it gives them a wider angle view. So if they're happy to be doing board work, they can write on the board, and the kids at home can still see it. When they're done with the board work, again, because this is a very portable setup, they can just take the stand and the iPad wherever they need to do, wherever they need it, and then continue with their class.
That's awesome.
So, and then obviously there's the added benefit of these iPads once we're done with COVID, hopefully, soon, in that they're still a viable tool for the teacher that can give them much more different tool sets they can continue to use from this point on over the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, however long these iPads will last.
So have we gotten all of those in that were ordered, or are we still waiting?
So we're still waiting, and so that was one of the challenges, I think, just in general for any technology. A portable type of technology, whether it's Chromebooks or iPads, is the demand for them.
Oh, yeah.
The demand mostly is for Chromebooks. There's a shortage of them. In fact, I think it was DPS. Do you remember, Douglas, that one article? I think DPS ordered, I don't know, in the thousands back in May, and they still have not received their Chromebooks. And so we're kind of in the same boat. So we kind of did two orders. Our second order of like 400 Chromebooks that's supposed to furnish K-3, we still have. And the timetable that I was given, I don't know, a few weeks ago was October, November. So we'll see what'll happen then. Same thing with these iPads. Generally speaking, they were normally, in a normal year, you would get them in about 2 weeks. We bought 150. We bought 50 the first that we've gotten. And then the other 100 should be here like next week, so that'll put it like 7 weeks or something like that, since people were a bit longer than expected. But we have enough to cover what we've been coming up against in terms of those kids or the students that have to be quarantined from home. I forget how many.
How many do you think we're using now? 10 to 15 right now?
Right now we're using 24 at the high school. Based on, is it 9 students that were?
Yes. And it's really 4 classes.
So I'm not sure, but.
Yeah, so I mean, so just to be clear that we're not using this exclusively for COVID related, but it's health related for all of them. And it's temporary. This is not a permanent mode of learning.
Right.
Online, if you want a permanent at-home solution, that is the 100% online solution. This solution is a 10 to 14 day solution for in-person learning when it needs to happen at home for a health-related pre-approved reason, pre-approval by the principal. So families don't get to make a unilateral decision. It needs to be approved by the principal, and it's temporary. It is not the permanent way of learning. So I'm surprised that there's so many.
So Brett gave me a list of teachers, and so we just followed his list.
Okay. So there are students, for example, that that may be quarantined because they were exposed by a family member. And so I know that we have some at the middle school, we have some at Singing Hills.
One at Running Creek, I believe.
Yeah. So we have enough capacity, equipment capacity, well beyond what we're using right now.
Right. And the goal is that once all the iPads come in, then every teacher will get a set. So it's just part of their tool set, and they're ready to dive in if they need to at any point in time, if that's what's needed.
Awesome. I love that stand.
Yeah.
It's really cool. How nice. I mean, the old stands, you know, they were flat, and you're always trying to hit, and then falls over, but I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, and we're just copying what other districts have already thought of. In fact, this was something that both Douglas and I separately had seen from St. Vrain. So from my circles, I knew that they were doing something like this. The setup might be a little bit differently. They have different types of stands, but essentially it's the same. It's the same pieces. A wireless headset, an iPad, a wide-angle clip-on camera, and some sort of stand.
Let me add a
Marty, take some credit. You're a pioneer, Marty. Take some credit.
I'm a pioneer that doesn't want to reinvent the wheel, so I just copy what other people do.
No, it's fantastic.
So from an instructional perspective, there's a couple of challenges, both for the teacher and then also for the student. From the teacher's perspective, it's not useful to basically live broadcast the entire lesson. And you know, at the high school it's an hour and a half lesson, at the middle school maybe it's an hour lesson. At the elementary it could be 2 hours between like a break from one thing to another thing. So what all of the teachers that are using this are doing is looking at their lesson plans and determining like what of their lesson plans is appropriate to broadcast. What of their lesson plan is appropriate for asynchronous or, you know, Google Classroom delivered assignments that the student would work on independently? And then what just goes poof? You can't upload it into Google Classroom. It's not really worth broadcasting. It's just, it doesn't translate well. It goes away. So from the teacher perspective, that's an experiment that they're doing right now, which is they're starting with a hypothesis of like, okay, this is what's going to translate well, what's going to help the student on the other end stay connected with the class, keep progressing at the same pace, hopefully, as the students who are in person in the classroom. And many are using Google Classroom, right, Marty, too? And they already put all of their things on Google Classroom, so their assignments are accessible to students that are in person as well as at home, because it's already there. It's not a separate kind of delivery mechanism for those that are at home. And so they're just experimenting to see what translates well. And the student side, they're not going to be on it. If the instructional hours in a day is 6.5 hours, they're not going to be on their computer for 6.5 hours. And for various reasons. One, because there's going to be some things that don't apply. So the teacher will say, okay, we're done. You know, connect back on at 10 o'clock. And we'll go to the next unit. Or it'll just be whenever their next class is, if it's the next high school class. The elementary and middle school aren't live broadcasting every class. So there's some specials or some electives that they're not broadcasting. PE is an example. So the PE teacher would give here, you know, do these activities. It might be that the, I think the art teacher is the art teacher broadcasting that here?
I'm not sure.
Sure. But let's just use that as an example. Maybe the art teacher says, you know, that a lot of it is working on projects in the class, and so they don't do that. They don't live broadcast it. There might be an assignment that they get asynchronously for art. So, and then the students just need breaks. So whether it's a passing period, whether it's a lunch break or whatever, so that the student is on some portion of the normal day when they're online. And the other challenge at home are the guidelines for the environment, for privacy of the students in the class, for example, dress code. So the dress code has to be consistent with the dress code that would be for in-person. So we've developed, starting with legal counsel, put together a recommended set of guidelines and expectations for remote learning for the student and for the family. Like, for example, don't record or photograph what's happening. That there's a privacy that's expected of everybody in the classroom. So if we saw someone posting things based on that on social media, we would address that issue very quickly. And so those will be given to students as they go to remote learning, not like across the board, all, you know, close to whatever, 1,800 students all at once. But if you go to remote learning, then here are the guidelines for, and they're not long, it's a page and a half of expectations. So, I don't know if there's anything.
The other thing too is to keep in mind that this setup is not, we didn't do this setup so that they can record their lessons to be then viewed at a later time. This setup is intended so that they can do it live.
Right.
This setup is intended so that they don't have to record, so that the kids don't have to like go at another time again. That's the asynchronous model of learning that we didn't want to recreate. That we did.
So if we get requests to, oh, can you record it or what? No, you. It's just like being in a class. You need to show up on time. Attendance is taken. You're there. It's interactive. We don't believe that a recorded classroom lesson has the same value to just sit there and watch it. And teachers aren't teaching to record it. It's a different script, so to speak, if you're going to record it, because you're designing it to be a kind of one-way communication, versus I'm broadcasting a more interactive environment. So we did, in one case for one student, we did experiment a little bit with recording at the request, and we had to stop doing that because it wasn't a good learning environment for the student, and it wasn't a good teaching environment for the teacher. So this is, and teachers could still record lessons if they want, upload them onto their Google Classroom and have their students watch them. They've always been able to do that. This just adds the capability to recreate the interactive classroom environment when the student is at home.
And one last thing too, Douglas, I know that two of the performing arts teachers at the high school was included in that list, Carson Barnard and who's the band, and Kai Monson. So I would assume that the what they're planning is that the right, because if somebody's in choir, that they would still benefit from being able to sing with their classmates while they're at home. Obviously, you know, Kaya can't hear them and correct them, but same thing with the band, right? If they're doing some sort of piece, that the band member at home can be working through this while they're viewing it live. So I don't know if that's why maybe there's more teachers, because some of those performing arts or arts were included, if they thought it made sense. Any other questions for me, comments?
That's great.
Thank you, Marty. Thanks for your
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Great job. Okay, next, we have Ron. Thank you, Thomas.
Right. Checks over $5,000, as usual. Most expenditures are typical monthly expenses. Additionally, there were payments for curriculum purchases, several tech-related purchases throughout the district, repair and service HVAC units, research premiums, yearbooks, district's portion of the EMS 4 project, tent rentals, hotspots, gym floor refinishes, and out-of-district tuition. Any questions? Financial statements. The financial statements are for activity just through the end of July, 1 month into the new fiscal year. Therefore, that's why, on a percentage basis, that's 8.3% through the year. General fund revenues after charter allocations are at 3.8%. Expenditures are at 8.13%. Since the financial statement reflects revenues and expenses for the month of July, there's not much activity in the other funds. A lot, as a matter of fact, there's no activity for at least three or four of the funds, both the expenses and revenues, but they're attached for your review. Word of caution, these statements are on a cash basis, which means that some of the revenues and expenses reported in the statements will be ultimately accounted for in the prior year, such as accounts receivable, accounts payable. After, you know, that's after we make our final journal entries. Any questions on any of this so far? A little heads up here. I think you probably figured out that because we didn't serve any lunch or collect any money for the lunches we served after we shut down, that we still kept paying salaries, we still kept paying benefits, and we still had expenses, but we weren't getting any revenues in. There was no cash collected. So we spent down our food service fund balance quite a bit last year. We are just now getting our final numbers in because we haven't closed out the year as we're preparing for the audit. But I anticipated when I was building the budget for this year that we were gonna spend down the fund balance in food service by $70,000. In reality, it looks like we're spending it down by $93,000.
Wasn't the lunch a federally covered program?
Yes, based on the amount that we handed out. And so we, you know, there wasn't that many lunches that we handed out. I mean, there was, I guess it's all relative what you think is a lot of lunches.
Right.
We did collect revenues for that, but we didn't collect our other revenues for that to help offset any of the
right.
salaries.
The kids buying the lunch.
Salaries
right.
and benefits. All
but
right.
we didn't hand out the food either. So did all that food, well, I guess the milk and stuff would go bad.
Yeah, we did hand out lunches. Remember, we were having them handed out at EMS and Senior Hills in the front.
Right, right. But I mean, we didn't collect the money from kids who would eat lunch, but we didn't hand out lunches in schools like we didn't hand out as many lunches.
Right, right. But we still have to cover some of our expenses
the
with the revenues
gotcha.
That we collect for the sale of the lunches.
Okay.
So we did spend that same thing with the People Activity Fund for sports and that. We spent down, I don't know exactly how much we spent down, but we did spend down quite a bit of the fund balance for the People Activity Fund. So just a heads up that I did build the budget that we were going to that we were going to, expenses were going to equal revenues, plus fund balance. But we did have to increase the transfer to the people activity fund because we were going to have such a large deficit from last year because we paid spring coaches, but we didn't collect any spring fees for any of those activities. So just a heads up on that. Don't know what our people enrollment is going to be October 1 here in a few weeks, but I'm hoping it's pretty close to what I anticipated.
So are we. Actually, I hope you're off.
Yeah.
Because I hope we have more.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm going to be off, but let's hope it's in the right direction. But we'll see. We'll see soon enough what that's going to be. Lastly, Douglas sent out the appraisal for Frontier High School, and I was just wondering if you have any questions that I could send along to the individual who did the appraisal.
I forgot how thorough those are.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
It was very thorough.
Yeah. So I don't have any questions, but I did look at it.
Okay. Okay.
I think it's reasonable. Your thoughts, right?
Would I like to have seen it higher? Yeah, but boy, oh boy, there's a lot of repairs that need to be done to that facility. So, but I guess I don't know how much we want to discuss. But I guess next steps are finding somebody to put it on the market, and if you're all amenable to that,
I am. Yeah, sure.
Okay, the individual who did the appraisal was actually a member of the community out here, had kids graduated from our high school, and he offered in there that he could help with find somebody to put it on the market and assist with anything else further. So if everybody's okay, and I fully understand, I don't know, I've never done this before, and so it's going to be some we're going to try and find somebody that's going to best represent our what we're looking for.
Didn't we have some departments here in Elizabeth that said that they were interested in the property?
Well, but they didn't.
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
Just bought Casey Jones.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think they can do it.
Sure.
Plus, I don't think they were paid even the estimated value, I think.
Yeah.
All right.
I think we proceed then asking him for a commercial real estate broker.
Yep.
Right?
That was my thoughts.
And not a residential, but it's got to be
right.
Commercial.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Anything else? Paul?
I got a question for you, Ron. I know that the county's passing out grants. Or I've heard a rumor of
small business.
Oh, is it just for
small businesses?
Okay.
It's for small businesses that were affected by COVID,
okay,
but couldn't get the payroll protection.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Grants.
Okay, and also, what about the state just came out the other day? So they had. It was in the news, but I can't remember how many names it was. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, we got, $1 million from the CARES Act, if that's what you're referencing.
No, this is
something different. New. I heard it too.
Yeah. I don't remember how much money. Do you remember how much money they had, Kim? But, yeah, and they were going to, I know technically we're not a rural school, but that's what they
are. Yes, we are.
We are a rural school.
Oh, we are?
Absolutely.
We're just not a small rural school.
Yeah. Oh.
But we are a rural school.
The money was supposed to go to rural schools.
Well, I think if you're referencing the RISE grants, that I think that those also have to, there needs to be a lot of diversity and a high free reduced. And so I saw some of that, and it looks like, just because of those things, a lot of high English language learners, some high percentage of English language learners, were in there, but that was for, you know.
All right.
That excludes us from a lot of the grant monies because of our relatively low free and reduced.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Anything else? Do you have anything else?
Nope, I'm done.
Thank you very much. That's up, superintendent report. Thanks.
Okay. It's been 3 weeks since we last met, and those 3 weeks have been really some of the most kind of interesting 3 weeks in our history as a school district, because we've never had school in these kind of conditions with neighboring school districts in hybrid models or doing e-learning or, you know, just the very bizarre kind of situation that we're in. Where we are fully back in person. We don't have a hybrid or a blended or an AB or whatever we call kids in all of our schools. And as you've seen from some of the communications that I've shared with you and the community, things are going really well. Like with the discussion with Corey, better than we expected. Knock on wood, knock on anything. But I would say, in large part, because of three factors. One, our teachers have done a great job and our staff. They've been very gung-ho. Sure, there have been concerns and anxiety and worries, but in a way, the positivity and the interest in being there for kids has won the day, and people are excited to have the kids back. So many people do work in schools because that's what they want to do. That's what they love doing. And so, especially the first week, the reports that I got were just so glad to have the kids back, but how good the students were, how appreciative, how kind, how cooperative, how hardworking. I mean, the pride that our teachers had in their kids was palpable, evident. It was across the board. It was just really moving to see. The other is the students themselves. I mean, they've really just, at some level, just been themselves. They've come back, they've been natural, they've been doing what they do, in school and in their social life, talking with each other. It's been fairly normal, with the exception of, inside having masks on and a few protocols, but it has not been, we don't have one-directional hallways, we're not doing a number of things, so that you're not always, there's three or four chairs at a table in the cafeteria, you see more kids outside, but it looks and feels a lot more normal than you might think, especially when you start comparing with districts that are, 100% remote right now. And our kids have really done an amazing job of just cooperating and making it work. And then lastly, our families and our parents. You heard Lori talk about how they're not sending their kids to school sick. And when there are issues, they've been very cooperative. So we have not found ourselves in very difficult situations with regards to differences in what families want for their kids and want from us and what we're able to do. So it's gone really well. We had our first students that we needed to remove, that we needed to make the decision to move to remote learning last Friday. You saw the communication from Brett McClendon that was very, it probably had four sentences. It was very brief. It said what happened. It said what we ask of parents and students in the future. Not a lot of extraneous communication. But to point out something that some districts and some media outlets are probably accurately describing that schools are quarantining students. We are not quarantining students. We don't see that as our role, that's a public health role. It's maybe a primary care physician's role to tell a patient, they should quarantine. But we don't believe that it's our job to tell people to quarantine. What we do believe it is our job, and there is no question about it, is that when there are health situations among our students or staff that threaten to expose someone to the virus, that it is our obligation, our responsibility to not have them be at work or in the classroom, and to provide an alternative for them, whether it's paid leave because they have been exposed at home and they can't come to school to do their job because they might expose somebody else and they need to quarantine, or whether it's students like we moved to remote learning last week, but that's all we've done is move students to remote learning or to have staff either comply with an instruction that they had to quarantine or made a collaborative decision that was in the best interest of all parties that they quarantine. So based on just the statistics, it was my estimation as we were in August that having one person come into one of our schools in a month period of time was what we should expect. So between now and Christmas, to have four people come into, it might be the same school, it could be different schools, four times in a 5 month period, just based on the numbers. Now the numbers have gone up a little bit, so it's maybe slightly higher odds. But that's something that we can't prevent. I mean, we can make some efforts, but our mitigation efforts have really tried to say when that happens, because it's likely to happen, what's going to keep the virus from spreading? And that's where we do have a lot that we can influence. And so that's what we're going to do to measure our efforts to see, of the people who are quarantined, do any of them come down with the virus? And that's what other districts are looking at as well. Cherry Creek, the last I heard was last week, they had, and I'll use their word, that they had quarantined 425 people. None of those people have come down with the virus. Academy 20 is quarantined around somewhere in the range of 550. So they've, or using our language, excluded either staff or students, 550. None of them have, to my knowledge, or if there was an exception, have come down with the virus.
What are they excluding them?
The same reason that we did, because they've been exposed.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Right? So if they're exposed.
They're just bigger communities.
Academy 20 has 25,000 students.
Okay.
Cherry Creek has 55,000 students.
Okay. Well,
so actually, there are more, and those differences in the number really don't reflect the number of cases in those communities. They really reflect more how public health is approaching their job. And one of the challenges with the current CDPHE guidelines is that it says what exposure is close contact. Close contact is defined by 6 feet or less for more than 15 minutes, touching, same utensils, carrying, etc., sneezing on, or being in the same classroom or cohort. The problem is that being in the same classroom or cohort is a grab bag of situations.
Right.
I mean, we saw a whole high school close because it had two students, one in cohort A and another in cohort B. They had divided the school in half and had two cohorts, and they had one student in each, and they said, well, the cohort is going to have to go remote. So you had cohort was like 230 kids, so because of one case. So my personal opinion is that was excessive, that the disruption caused to quarantine that many kids for one case. I mean, it doesn't fit the definition of more than 15 minutes, less than 6 feet. You just can't literally, you just have to have like a huge group hug of that many people, and even there you couldn't put that many people and all be within 6 feet of each other.
Right.
So that's a very broad, and it's not inconsistent, but it's also it's with CDC, which limits it, and so universities are saying 6 feet or less, more than 15 minutes, and that's the standard that we've been using. That's the standard that is really the benchmark with Elbert County Public Health, and that's how we came to 9 versus any number greater than that with seating charts. Who was within less than 6 feet or less, more than 15 minutes, and it wasn't precise in terms of like a measuring tape, but it was clear the student was 8 to 10 feet. The student was 4, 5, 6, and so, but depending on how you make those decisions, you can end up with more or less students that are excluded from members. So we were very happy with the communication and the decision making in collaboration with Elbert County Public Health, and really they gave us the latitude to do. Did versus an overly prescriptive and overly impactful mandate coming from them. So, I think that now 3 weeks in, starting our fourth week, this is great. We have the routine. Everybody's, whether it's buses, whether it's families, whether it's students, classes, everything is now working in a routine and working well. There's one other area to report on, and that's the 100% online. I don't know the numbers. The numbers have been fluctuating, and I would say we have, I'm going to use an approximate 180 students in the district that are 100% online. That number has fluctuated, especially in the last couple of weeks, because there have been a number of people, probably in double digit, that said they wanted online, started, and then changed their minds and have requested to come back to in person. The deadline for doing that was last Friday, and I don't know what the final numbers were for that. So we expected some of that, but especially at the middle and the high school level, it's really tough after 3 weeks of school to come back in and catch up.
Right.
And so we said that they need to finish out the semester. It's a semester-long decision. We might deal with individual cases at the elementary level on an individual by individual basis if there is a request. The Colorado Digital Learning Solutions did not have the capacity statewide to meet the request, and we were impacted by that. There are currently 10 families for a total of 13 students who did not get enrolled. Have not been enrolled to date in CELS courses, the 100% online, because they don't have teachers to staff the classes. So there's 8 at the high school, 4 at the middle school, and 1 at the elementary level. And they've been told that they, I don't know what the latest communication is other than that they're currently not enrolled and they might need to consider another option, or coming in person in those schools, that this program may not be able to provide.
Would it allow that, given that they can't get in and it's not?
At this point, yes, if they can't, because they never really were accepted.
Yeah, right.
So, I don't know if there's anything, Marty, is there anything you'd like to add?
Other than the fact that I think all of these cases, we given a date of August 14th for them.
Yeah. Do you want me to say a little bit about that?
Yeah.
So we told families in our communication, in our plan, was that they needed to indicate that they wanted the 100% online solution by August 14th. And all of the people that are currently not enrolled in an online, in the 100% online, made those requests after that date. And the reason for that date was to be able to make sure they had space. So these requests came after that. and that's part of the reason why they won't be able to be accommodated, why they are accommodated. Is that what you were?
Yeah.
We have access to the attendance, and we have to work out how, because we're responsible for the attendance, although they are taking the attendance, and it can depend based on the, they don't have a one-size-fits-all, so depending on the teacher, it might be one way for this teacher and another way for this teacher, but that data is recorded by them, and then we get access to it, and we have to figure out how we're going to translate that into our attendance system. But we won't ever be doing attendance, they will. And we won't be doing grading, they will be grading. And because it's taught by different teachers, one teacher may be rigorous and another teacher may not be. And so you may hear different reports that, oh, wow, there's so much work. Oh, they're not doing anything on the 100% online. And that may have to do with just which teacher they have and the expectations of that teacher. The curriculum is the same for their courses, but how that teacher teaches it and the expectations that they have may vary.
I talked to a teacher from the high school, and she was just telling me how accommodating the custodial staff is, and said she couldn't praise them enough by just how above and beyond, and oh yes, we'll get that for you, no problem, we can do this for it. I mean, just they're on it, and I mean, great response, which is lovely to hear.
Yeah, I think that's been true around the district, and it's kind of, some of that is also should go to Ken in terms of the teachers and the requests that they had, because whether it's been Ken or the principals or others, really trying to understand people's concerns, understand people's needs, and then address them. And I think that collectively there's been a really good job done at doing that, and kind of just an attitude on a regular basis. What do you need? How can we support you?
It was high praise, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, my confidence level that we'll be able to continue this approach is pretty high right now. Meaning that we've been able to bring in all of our staff back, get them all prepared. We have the technology, students. We as I said, we have a routine, and it's working. And now it's just a matter of dealing with the normal challenges that we face. Which are not insignificant, but they're closer to the normal ones versus, okay, we're in this unusual situation where others have responded with more dramatic changes, and still trying to figure out how do we bring students back? And that's a big question. And they're doing it in a phased approach. K-2, they don't even have K-2 back yet. They're looking into October, and how do they balance students that are now learning online with then shifting those teachers to in person at the same time that the students are coming in person, and logistical challenges, and matching up so that you have the right number of teachers to the right number of students. I mean, we're just so fortunate that we don't have those challenges, and we were able to have all of our students together, and it's really, I don't know what our policy is for board members in the schools, but if you can just kind of imagine your best memories of what our schools are like, that's what it feels like. I mean, the kids are playing on the playground, they're chatting in the hallway, they're engaged in the lessons in the classroom. It's just really, kind of as mundane as school can be. It's very inspiring. It's very,
that's wonderful.
Moving. And our parents have been so supportive. It's really been nice. I mean, it feels like there's been a really good match between what we're doing and what they want for their kids and what the kids want for themselves. So that's my report. Unless you have questions.
That's good. You want to say anything? Nothing, Paul? Okay. So we move on to public comment section. Do you have any?
There it is.
He's over here.
Yeah.
He's, well, I know, we keep looking up there. moving on to consent agenda, can I get a motion to approve items 9.1 through 9.6?
So
second.
Psych.
Either one. Roll call, please.
Director Benkendorf?
Yes.
Director Frommiller?
Yes.
Director Gutenberg?
Aye.
Director Hines?
Aye.
Director Karcher?
Aye.
Okay, moving on to action items. Do we want to do a third reading? We have one revised policy.
What do you recommend, Jamie?
Yes.
You don't have one?
Oh.
Yes?
Well, I mean, it's up to you if you want to take legal's comments and you're good with it. I'm good with it. I mean, I don't know that much about.
I love that.
Is that the legal? Is the comments? Yeah,
okay.
And it wouldn't upload right for some reason. I think it's because I didn't track the changes, and so I put both on there because one put comments, and one didn't. Okay. Did it show up right for you?
Yeah, I could
okay.
See it on the
Word
document, right?
Yep.
But then not all the red line was on the Word one that I could tell when I uploaded it. It was kind of confusing,
okay.
So I put both.
Paul, are you okay with second and final?
You're still on mute.
I keep muting myself. Say that again, Carol, I'm sorry.
Are you okay with second and final on this
yes.
policy?
I am, thank you.
Okay, sure. Okay, so.
The only thing I'm not okay with that hasn't been discussed yet is Jamie's departure. Can we shut that down now and not have let her leave?
Well, I did get the name of the company she's going to work for, so
yeah,
we can
yes.
do that.
Given her recommendation,
yeah.
She may be back.
Are you kidding me?
It's good to be one.
Okay. No, I'm great with that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so second and final revised reading of, can I get a motion to approve the second and final revised reading? Second final
so
reading, thank you.
Second.
I have to say it. Of the policy, EBCE, school closings and cancellations. See, you got me all flustered, buddy.
Sorry.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
I'd just like to add that, because this is about school cancellations and closings, that weather-related closures, we're not expecting to make any changes to what we've done for the past decade. So if there's a blizzard, we will close school, and we won't have remote learning when school is closed during a weather-related. And the only time where that might change is if we've used up all of the snow days
right.
that are built into the calendar,
mm-hmm.
then we would consider, say, if it's now the sixth day, because we don't have 6 days in the calendar, do we then shift that day to remote, or do we look at when it happens and whether we adjust the schedule, a bell schedule to have more time to the day, but we've really tried to avoid, and we have avoided, adding days, entire days to the schedule. So this policy does give us the flexibility to shift to a remote day for a weather reason, but that is not our intention.
So I have a hypothetical question about that, because I know some schools are doing that, right? Some
yes.
districts are following this policy because we recommend it. Would the teachers have to come in still? I mean, are they going to all have their cameras and their iPods at home and all their lessons at home with them?
I don't know what
I mean,
they're going to do.
I was just thinking about the logistics of it.
Yeah, the teachers would need to be, because if it's a weather closure, that's because it's not safe.
Right.
There's a risk to
right.
be on the road. There's a risk. I mean, the standard would be snow. There are clearly other weather related. But, yeah, they would need to have everything to conduct their class, especially if it were like Marty demonstrated, to have that at home.
Yeah.
Now, with a storm, typically you know the day before that storm is
right.
coming.
Right.
You don't have too many surprise storms. But yeah. And they would have to have the internet access, et cetera,
Well, they have to just, you know, sometimes you get flustered and hurried and you leave something behind. So would the school have 7 classes being taught and one not because the teacher didn't have the equipment?
Could be. Yeah, I don't know how others, I mean, other schools, how they're structuring it. Some have been working in that direction prior to the pandemic and are now using the pandemic to just supercharge that effort. Some of the larger school districts are looking at how they can kind of offer 100% online, a kind of hybrid, an in-person, even going forward after this, because they see that it meets different needs of different populations.
Right.
But we're a smaller district, we can't really, be a kind of a cafeteria plan.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, Douglas, I have the same question, but of a different twist with regard to students and how the district would communicate with students as far as that concerned. What is so funny, Carol?
Well, your voice came really loud behind Douglas and scared him.
Sorry, Douglas, if you could now get off the floor and on your chair.
Well, and your voice is from behind me.
I know, it came from behind. It's like, he sees you up here, but it came from behind him.
It was ducked covered.
So what about students, though, Paul?
You might need to ask the question.
Just notification of the students as well and getting them prepared so they take home their Chromebooks and their materials that they might need for that next day, the school books. I mean, Ella came home from Labor Day, and her second day here found out two of her roommates tested positive for COVID. Now she's stuck here. We had to actually buy a separate textbook, so she had her materials on hand. I worry about the material factor with students and communication and planning.
That's true.
Right now, they are in the routine of taking their Chromebooks home every night because they know that they might be quarantined or, I guess, shift to remote learning. So it's my understanding that...
That's just for 9 through 12, though.
9 through 12 is doing that here, just 9 through 12 already. But I agree with you. It's a logistical challenge, but it's just... It's not something that we're planning to do, and it's not necessarily just driven by organizational issues. It's driven in part by kind of the principle of the thing, that it's a lot of work to turn a snow day into a remote learning day, and there's a lot of benefit to breaks. It's why people take vacations. I mean, that's why we're seeing benefits from the students taking a break during the day. So a snow day is a version of a break. It's a break for everybody, and we just don't see a need to remove that. And so that this policy change is just wanted to be clear. It's not intended to turn snow days into remote days. And especially given that we have these remote days now, they're probably even more less welcomed after this experience.
Right.
So we're not trying to normalize remote days.
No. And I'm not trying to believe in the Farmer's Almanac either.
Yeah.
There are two versions of that.
So did you guys, I know you had a first and a second. This was, I think, discussion.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Anything else on it?
Nope. You guys ready for anything else?
Okay.
I'm done.
Director
Benkendorf?
Paul?
Yes. I'm quiet, so I don't speak.
Director Frumbeller?
Yes.
Director Gutenberg?
Aye.
Director Hines?
Aye.
Director Kirch?
Aye.
Okay, next up, discussion items. CASB Legislative Platform Delegate Assembly. So there is a CASB Delegate Assembly coming up. I believe it's all on Zoom.
That's the way I understand it. And I put it on the drive, pulled it up.
So for our new board members, there's a Delegate Assembly every year, and you can put in resolutions. We can have one person attend it and be our delegate to vote on resolutions. up to us what we want to do. If anybody wants to attend it via Zoom and be a delegate, you're welcome to, the legislative delegate.
What is it?
Usually in October.
Well, I have to notify board member boards or to notify Kathy the delegate's name by October 5th, and you can have a backup. But it's October Friday, 30th. October 30th.
From 2 to 5 p.m.
2 to 5 p.m. It does say, I said this to Douglas, that it is the responsibility of each member board to designate one. I don't know if you read that in there. I just noticed that from Kathy.
I may still be elk hunting at that time. That's the 30th, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but we have to put someone down by the 5th, but we can have a backup. If you want to.
I will be out of town.
As far as...
I mean, we can designate somebody. It doesn't mean they have to attend.
Okay.
I'm assuming.
Well, then that's where the backup...
Right.
What do they charge for somebody to attend an online meeting?
You know, I didn't even look, but I'm sure there's a fee.
Oh, I'm sure there's a fee.
I don't know if they charge for the delegate assembly. There's a conference that's usually been with the delegate assembly, one day of a conference. Even for the delegate assembly?
Oh, maybe it was the other part we paid for.
I know it was the other part we paid for. I think we didn't pay for the delegate assembly because it's like charging for a legislative process.
It doesn't say you're required to do it.
I think it would be prudent if there's somebody that's willing to volunteer, and then
I will probably be back, but you know.
Well, I can tell you, my plate is full right now, especially at the end of October.
So do you want me to put you
just
put as
me
the
down, and
delegate?
Then I'll just have to, you know.
So what everybody will have to do is, if Carrie can go, and if he can go, we'll get a copy of the resolutions. You need to read through all of them and indicate whether you're a yes or no vote on each one.
Okay, right.
Do you want a backup? Just because then you don't, I think even for the sake that I might not be here, if you change.
Somebody wants to.
Okay, Carrie didn't.
I'll be your backup.
Do you want
okay.
John? Okay.
So all this is, all these resolutions are put forward to CASB, and I don't ever think there's a full delegation of delegates there. Put forward to CASB what they want to lobby for school boards in the coming legislative session. That's all it is. This is what we're asking CASB to lobby for. But it's what the majority votes for.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
All
right.
Okay. So moving on.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, guys.
Our pleasure.
For stepping up.
Your time is coming.
Next board meeting is September 28th. So are you guys, when are you two elk hunting?
October 22nd through the 29th-ish.
Okay.
I will be there.
For the 28th of September?
28th.
Pending any sick kids, wife, pets.
Well, definitely let us know. There's a possibility I could be out of town, but I don't know for sure. So, just giving you guys advance notice.
Do you have permission to leave? Sorry.
I don't think I've missed a board meeting in quite a long time.
just meant permission to leave town.
Oh, permission to leave town? No, I don't, but I might do it anyway.
You might have to quarantine for 14 days when you return.
That's possible. We may go to Breckenridge, and we go for the week. And we're very limited on our days this year, so we always try to get up there in October. But I don't know. It's usually last minute for us, so. I'll let y'all know. Okay. Moving on. Oh, this rubber's done. So next is executive session. Can I get a motion to move into executive session under CRS 24-6? Actually, can we take a quick recess so everybody can... Well, we'll do this first. That's right. I get a motion to move into executive session under CRS 24-6-402-4D. Convene into executive session to discuss specialized details of security arrangements or investigations.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Director Benkendorf?
Yes.
Director Frumbella?
Yes.
Director Gutenberg?
Aye.
Director Hines?
Aye.
Director Karcher?
Aye.
Make sure you press stop, not
with,
pause.
With,
yes.
With that, we'll take a brief 2-minute break, so if you need to use the restroom, please.